Yo, citizens of America.
Yeah, back again.
It is your boy, West Coast Rel, and your boy, Big Wenzel, man. We are welcoming you guys back, family, the citizens, back to the man cave for another great episode. You know we got to get into it, West Coast Rel.
Just out here chilling, sunny Las Vegas, you know what I'm saying? Had to get in that water real quick.
It looked beautiful, man. It looked like you had an interesting
It was beautiful, man. It was lovely. Much needed. But what we're going to get the people today, we're going to actually talk about game two of the NBA Finals. How did you think about that? The Warriors ended up pulling out, stealing the game in Toronto.
What did I think about it? I mean, come on. Was my predictions right or wrong? Golden State Warriors, 109. Toronto Raptors, 104. I told you that the GS Dubs were going to take game two. Even though, like I said before, I'm pulling for the Toronto Raptors to make a little bit of history. I have to go with my gut on these instincts, man. And my gut told me GSW takes game two, bar none.
I know. I understand that. They did show up. Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond, and player that stepped up is DeMarcus Cousins with his 28 minutes. So that was a big contribution to their win. And if they can get that consistently from DeMarcus Cousins, I think that the Warriors can take over and win this series. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins comes out. He has a way better game than he did in game one, right? So he's giving you more minutes, more production. He's playing big on the defensive side and on the rebounding side, which has been a big struggle for the Golden State Warriors, as you've seen coming at 28 minutes, man. He was only 1-for-3 from the three-point line, but I mean, you know, he's coming off of injury. You got to give him a little bit of leeway coming off of the injury, but he had 10 rebounds to go with those 11 assists, man.
Really helped too.
Yeah, the 6 assists, I mean, you think that's 12 points right there. You know, that's a difference maker, especially when you're talking about a passing big man. You know, that's a very valuable thing to have. And for the Golden State Warriors, they had two on the floor, two of the best in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Two of the best in my opinion. So, that being said, I do have to give you citizens, you know, it's coming, the Wenzel MVP of game two. That for me personally, even though DeMarcus Cousins had a great game, I gotta go with my man, half of the Splash Brothers, Klay Thompson. He gave me 32 minutes, 10-for-17 from the field, 4-for-6 from the three-point line, shooting 66%+. You know, he was only 1-for-2 from the free throw line. If you don't foul him, he ain't gonna shoot him, right? But he gave you 25 points, half of the Splash Brothers, 48 points. And you gotta admit, man, when you look at, even though it scares me because he went down with a hamstring injury, obviously everybody saw that. But in my opinion, he's one of the toughest guys on the team. And you gotta hand it to the kid when you need buckets. When you need buckets. When you need a perfectly formed shot. Who has a better form in the history of the NBA than
Stephen Curry? Curry.
A better form? When you teach basketball and you teach being able to shoot the ball, squaring your body up, tucking the elbow, the perfect release with the follow through, even Steph Curry falls short to Klay Thompson. I mean, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter, bar none. But Klay Thompson clearly the best.
I mean, you might be right. I mean, your form is good. His form is good. I mean,
it's beautiful. It's a beautiful.
But when it breaks, it breaks. You know, it's unfortunate. He is still a great player, but when he is on, it is special. Like, to see him come off screens and just shoot it, just in rhythm, it is a pretty shot to see. So that is your MVP. I agree with you on that, but I give it to DeMarcus Cousins just because I told you it is a battle of the bigs when it comes to Toronto and Golden State. I still believe, can't say that. If DeMarcus Cousins is 100% healthy, I have to give it to the Warriors. He's still coming off of injury. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, his point production is not where I know he would like it to be.
Correct.
But right now, I've seen it to be even. As far as if the Golden State Warriors are still getting out-rebound, but they're keeping it close. And if they could just keep it close and knock down a few more threes than Toronto, they'll win those games. You understand me? So as long as they're grabbing the rebounds and then trying to grab the rebounds and limiting Toronto to their offensive rebounds, they can win a lot of those games, period.
Yeah, the big thing that Golden State's going to have to come out and do is be able to attack the offensive rebound. I mean, they only had a total of 4 offensive rebounds. You know, so that's saying right there, they're not getting a lot of second chance opportunities. But that being said, you know, they also still have to knock the shots down. You just don't want a brick so you can get offensive rebounds. You need to knock more shots down. And the Toronto Raptors and the Golden State Warriors both had 4 players in double digits, right, from the starting 5. But the difference maker is that Golden State, to your point, played more players, got more production from the entire staff than the Toronto Raptors. If you want to touch on that.
That being said, Golden State's bench won this game, in my opinion. With Toronto only playing 3 players from their bench, Golden State playing about 5 players from their bench, you automatically lost it there. I mean, as far as point production, they're about equal. Van Vliet, you know, 38 minutes with 17 points.
Oh, yeah.
The MVP, he's the sixth man of that team, basically. He should be starting, but he's the sixth man of that team. So, and he comes in and he scores. He is lights out. I give him that. The disappointing thing that happened in game 2 is Pascal Siakam. Yeah, 41 minutes, the most on the team. He has 41 minutes, was 0 for 3 from the 3-point line, 5 of 18 from shooting 2s with only 12 points and 8 rebounds. So close to double-double, but it was not the way he did in game 1. 32 points is a mirage. I'm sorry.
Wait. Big Wenzel's got to come in, and I gotta save Seattle on this one, right? I know that the minutes were there. I know that the production wasn't there quite the way that you wanted it from game 1. But I gotta tell the young man, he has no playoff experience. This is his first final. I'm not looking for Pascal Siakam to lead this team. I'm not looking for Pascal Siakam to be the difference maker. I'm looking for the veteran, Kyle Lowry.
Oh, yeah.
When I think about a disappointment to the Toronto Raptors, I got to go to Kyle Lowry. You come off in a game 1, you try and make a statement in the fourth quarter with a big 3-pointer, knock it down the dagger. Everybody's excited thinking they're getting the old Kyle Lowry that they first saw when he came to Toronto, a difference maker, a game changer. But he showed me in game 2 the 28 minutes, the 4-for-11 from the field, the 3-for-7 from 3 from distance, and 2-for-3 from the free throw line. He's not giving me great production. Again, he's not leading in assists, 2 assists. He's not leading in steals, 1 steal. He's not leading in – give me something that this man is leading the team in. He's not leading him in points.
He's leading him in fouls. He's a hack. I mean, let's just get that out of –
definitely leading him in fouls.
Get that out the way. When you get fouled up –
6 personal fouls.
When you get
fouls.
Fouled out in the finals, either you were – I don't know – you were trying a little too hard, or you were just not playing good. I mean, Kyle Lowry has to get it together.
Kyle Lowry falls short in the playoffs.
I agree. I mean, he's never been to the finals. I mean, the only person that's been to the finals over there is Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard. Am I correct?
Yeah, but he's been to the Eastern Conference Finals. He knows the pressure of the playoffs. Pascal Siakam don't know the
you're right. You're right. Come on. Kyle Lowry is a veteran, and he should be able to play a lot better than what he's doing. As a teammate of Kyle Lowry's, I would actually tell him, I would actually, you know, go to him and be like, hey, man, hey, big dog, we going to need you. You know what I'm saying? We going to need you to step up just a little bit more than what you're doing. Because if you give the effort that Van Vliet is giving you, hell, you can, in my opinion, it'd be Toronto in 6. If one of those players steps up, all that being said, the Toronto Raptors only lost by 5, which is meaning this is going to be a close series. It is going to come down to details, rebounds and assists, who plays well and who really wants it more. That's how I look at it. So it's not even going to be point production because Kawhi Leonard is going to get his 30 points plus every single game. I'm not even going to look at his stats. I'm like, did he get 30? Yep. Oh, that's good. You know what I'm saying? That's what he gives you.
I mean, that definitely plays a part. And I think that Golden State's strategy in this game, whether they knew it or not, it looks like a strategy to me, people. But when you look at the amount of players, as we were talking about before, playing in a game, I mean, it's just like if you were playing AAU ball, right? And I got 8 guys on the floor, they're getting gassed. They got to continue to stay on the floor because, I mean, come on, the bench, Fred VanVleet, I mean, he put up major minutes, and Powell put up major minutes, but Ibaka only played 16 minutes. which means that all the power for the big, or all the pressure for the big man, was put on Marc Gasol, and kind of passed out Siakam. But that mean, and that being said, Golden State played 11 out of 13 guys. I mean, they played the entire staff almost, except for Jordan Bell and Davis. So you think about keeping fresh legs on the court. That's exactly what they're doing. They're playing the rotation game. They're saying, listen, we don't have Kevin Durant, right? We don't have our scoring machine. But what we are going to do, we're going to keep fresh legs on the court. It ain't going to look like we're tired. It ain't going to look like we're fatigued. It's not going to look like we're not shooting well, because guess what? I got a new set of guys coming in. They're giving me 2 points here, six points there, nine points there.
Yeah, you know, Quinn Cook baby.
Came up big.
Dookie.
I mean, come on, Quinn Cook came out of nowhere and was lights out from long range. And even though he didn't put up a lot of shots, 3 for 5 and coming through in the clutch. I mean, come on, give it up for the kid, right?
Give it up for Quinn Cook. Definitely had a big game coming out shooting. He was just wet from 3-point land. So I really like the way he played. If he can stay consistent like that, I think he can improve and eventually become a starting point guard in the NBA. But right now, if he can just give that same, I can't say that same because I don't expect him to be 100% from 3-point land like that. But as long as he give him like 8 to 10 points off the bench as a point, that's all they need right now. And they just keep this thing rolling. The starting five of the Golden State Warriors just try to outplay the starting five of the Toronto Raptors. I think that the Golden State Warriors can win this in six. But like that being said, both teams did not play well. Toronto really didn't play well. Toronto really didn't play well, and they only lost by 5. That right there is a problem in my mind for the Golden State Warriors.
Well, because they beat them. Well, they beat them in every quarter except for the third. Right.
The third quarter is where you got
27-26. Second quarter they went up 32-28. The third quarter they you know, Golden State went on a 20-0 coming out of half. You know, kept that 20-0 going into the third. And then, you know, they outscored Golden State in the fourth quarter. So without that third quarter, Toronto wins the game.
I agree.
You know, hands down. So, I mean, you got to come out in the second half with that same energy that you give them in the first half. It's very important.
I believe they will. With that being said, who do you have in game three?
Game three is going to go to the Golden State Warriors. And I think it's going to be an onslaught because of the energy from the home crowd. I think that even though Toronto has the bigs and everything like that, honestly, I personally believe that in this particular situation with game three on the line, Toronto has their back against the wall. You have to make a statement in the away games. Yeah, I need, you know, it doesn't matter what it takes. If it takes Drake traveling with you, you know, if it takes being playing dirty, playing more physical like you would like them to do. You know, bringing more of the physical mannerism out and being able to take Draymond Green out of his headspace. You know, because when Draymond Green's getting physical with you, it's one thing. But when you're getting physical with him, taking him out of his element, then you have a different Golden State Warriors team. And I believe that right now, Toronto has the potential to do that. And they have the big men to do that. But Marc Gasol got to get a little grind. Marc Gasol got to come out the gate a little
bit. I agree with that one. In my opinion, I would love to see them get a little bit more physical with Golden State. Game three, I really do think I agree with you. I think the Golden State Warriors are going to win. I don't think it's going to be an onslaught. I think it's just going to be a good win, kind of like how game two went. Then I have Toronto winning game four. So as long as Toronto steals a game, it's going back to Toronto. And I don't, in my opinion, that's dangerous territory. I can't say dangerous because they won game two. But I just think that the later it gets, like 6 and 7, I think that Toronto, the arena in Toronto is just going to be crazy, like even crazier. I do think Drake's going to travel. Like, I think that game three, Drake will be in Oakland. It'll be crazy, but I do think that he will travel. Like, if he doesn't travel, this is your team is in the finals, bro. This ain't no time to skip away games. You know what I'm saying? There's only a few more games left in the NBA season, and your team is in there. I'm not sitting. I don't care I don't care what my schedule looks like. I got my big plane that I didn't even have to pay for. That big plane that I just got for free. I'm gonna go wherever my team goes, and I'm gonna root them on straight up.
I mean, if he wants to be the new Spike Lee, you gotta go in the enemy territory. You gotta represent your team, and you gotta get in the face of the home crowd celebrities and let them know, hey, T.O. is here to stay. The Claw is in the building. The Claw is here to stay. And but even on that subject, when you think about Kawhi Leonard, do you think So if the Golden State Warriors do the miraculous without Kevin Durant and put away the Toronto Raptors, where do you think that puts Kawhi Leonard in the situation of him being on a one-year deal, being an unrestricted free agent with his own, with plenty of options if he wants to go anywhere, do anything? Where does them getting manhandled in the finals put where does that put Kawhi Leonard as far as his future is concerned?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I don't think they're gonna get manhandled in the finals. I just think it's gonna be
just hypothetically, even if they lose, okay, and he doesn't bring the ring home.
Because
right now we know that he brings the ring home, he stays. I know everybody knows
that'd
that.
That'd be dumb. You'd be dumb to go.
If he does not bring the ring home, what's next for the club?
Toronto is where home is. This is where he got shipped to, right? I mean, this is where San Antonio traded him to, right? So with that being said, you built something here in Toronto. I mean, we didn't know what to think. I didn't know that Kawhi Leonard's presence in Toronto was going to lead for them to be in the finals. Like, that wasn't in my in my plan. So with that being said, you got here where no one expected you to be. It's time for you to stay. I mean, you can make the most money in Toronto. So you just need to actually just stay in Toronto and just build what you need to build. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to give you whatever you need. You like your coach. I mean, it seems like, you know, your teammates play well. You got Pascal Siakam, Van Vliet, all young guys who can really ball and can bring some potential for other free agents to come to Toronto. Plus, you got Drake backing you with, you know, his $200-300 million. I mean, that's all you need right there. Everything else to work yourself out. Stay in Toronto, get your money, build you something in Toronto. They love you there. You know what I'm saying? Don't go nowhere else. Don't go to LA. Don't go to New York. Don't fool yourself. Stay where you at and build your own stuff right there in Toronto. That's what I think you should do.
100%. I have to give it a, you know, I got to count the timer down, people. What do you hear? Uh-oh. Oh, bombs. You got to hear the bomb. I mean, Wenzel and Ruff right now are agreeing. We're agreeing right now. I think the best thing that Kawhi Leonard could do for his entire career right now is to stay seated. Do not be discombobulated if you get whooped in the finals, or even if it's a close finals, you get discouraged. Do not leave Toronto. Do not leave Toronto. I think it's too much money in Toronto for you to pass up. When you think about cities that are big cities, you think about, you know, the New Yorks, they got multiple teams. You think about the Calis, they got multiple teams. Texas, multiple teams. You know, all these great places that players want to go and play that have multiple teams. But guess what? You're not reaching the full potential financially. Nope. You're not reaching the full potential to a fan base because you got to share. You got to share. The Knicks got to share with Brooklyn and New York. The Knicks got to share with, you know, the Mets got to share with the Yankees. You know, you think about LeBron sharing with the Clippers and Doc Rivers and the host of guys there. And I think that Kawhi Leonard is in a unique position to make history, not only in the city of Toronto, but in the entire country of Canada. There's no other NBA team there. They lost to Vancouver Grizzlies years ago. They're the sound mind and body and the host for the entire NBA
in Canada,
in Toronto. And he can cap all of that attention. He can cap all of the sales, the jerseys, the shoe deals. He'll be the Drake
basketball
in that. And I think he has the potential to be the damn prime minister in Toronto, if you want my opinion, honestly, because if you bring a ring, you do something nobody's ever done. There's been
I agree with that.
There's been other hockey teams. There's been national teams. They got a Canadian Football League. You know, they don't have a super basketball team that can bring a championship there. If he does that, there is absolutely 100% no reason for him to leave.
No reason at all. With that being said, like I said, he should stay there. Of course, there's no doubt about it. Like you said, he can earn the most money. It's yours to rule. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason to leave. There's no reason to leave at all. Whether you do lose, I mean, who cares? You can get back to it. I mean, this is the East you're talking about. Hell, everybody else still has to develop their chemistry. That's one thing about it.
Right.
I can guarantee you, I can bet $5 right now that Toronto will make the playoffs again next year. I don't care what their roster really looks like. As long as Kawhi Leonard is there, I still think they're going to make the playoffs in the East. So with that being said, all you got to do is just worry about building your chemistry. While everybody else has got to build their chemistry on the fly, you already built your chemistry right there. So I know not a lot of guys are going to leave Toronto right now, except for Kyle Lowry, who they need to like try to trade badly or get him out of here.
Right. And the thing about that, even to expand on your point, before we move on from that, when you think about Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors being in the East, right now they're a dominant force, right? And if Kawhi goes anywhere else, he has to struggle to get to the back of the top of Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Right now in Toronto, with just the core guys he has, even if he guts Kyle Lowry out of there, he has the... First of all, they're going to have the money without Kyle Lowry's contract, whether somebody picks it up or they give him away and get absolutely nothing for him. They'll still have 60 to 70 million to play with to be able to say, hey, let me offer somebody 25 million over the next 4 years. That's a match contract. Then let me go get a host of 3 to 4 other guys that I think are long, can shoot the ball, can defend well, a Trevor Ariza type that can come and give you great production, because you're going to have to sacrifice Kyle Lowry's scoring ability that he has showed.
Right, I was about to say, what scoring ability?
Better attention to detail. I mean, well, because Kyle Lowry, really, you look at his entire career, is a scoring monster, but he does not do it when it counts. He doesn't do it when it counts. Now, in the playoffs, he's giving you the bare minimum of what his untapped potential is.
I mean, I don't know. I think he's
still young. He's still athletic. I just don't get it why he won't give you 100%. And that's why I think they can get rid of him and actually get a solid team there that can destroy the Milwaukee Bucks, no matter who they put on their team. If Kawhi Leonard stays next year and Toronto does what the front office does what they're supposed to do, they'll be unstoppable in the East. Nobody will be able to.
I agree. Well, if those other teams that get together, as far as the New York Knicks, I am putting money on the New York Knicks to at least make a run in the playoffs. I don't know about Eastern Conference Finals first year, but close to it, you know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I mean, I still think Milwaukee's going to get better. It's the East is just as loaded as the West. I can't say just as loaded, but it looks a lot damn better than what LeBron James had to go through in the East dealing with Cleveland. That's for sure.
So, right. I mean, do I think Milwaukee will get better? I know Giannis.
That's all you need.
You know, I don't know if he's got, you know, a couple older guys around him, but I don't know, even though they have some young players on there, I don't know if Milwaukee gets better every year. You know, that depends on what they do. I know Kawhi Leonard will get better. I know Marc Gasol is going to get better. I know that Pascal Siakam will get better. I know that, what's the kid's name from Duke?
Quinn Cook?
Or no, not Quinn Cook. I'm thinking about, Powell. I know Norman Powell's going to get better. I know he's going to get better. I know he's going to be giving you more production, more minutes next year. You know, so Danny Green's going to give you what he's going to give you. You know, a little bit of production. Not really great defense, but I think Toronto Raptors is a powerhouse now, and it's going to be even more of a powerhouse. Even if the Knicks make a play on Kyrie next year, I don't think that is enough with Knox on their team, you know, some other guys. I don't think that's enough for them to make a run to the playoffs. I mean, you know, you've seen Kyrie get knocked out of the playoffs with a better team than New York by far. So I just don't think that's enough firepower.
Ooh, you know.